You all for being here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Wasn't this a great start of our morning services here today? One more round of applause for Jamie and Jenny and their music and everything. It's so nice to see you all here. Happy Mother's Day. Everybody say Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Okay, they're good. Although it's not a religious holiday, like I said earlier, it is indirectly, though, one of the most celebrated holidays of all internationally. Because it's not tied directly to any particular religion or anything. Everybody's got a mom or a grandmom, or they are going to be a mom. I remember when I was little, this is how much it means in my own life. When I was little, I remember buying my first little present for my mom one day when I had a paper route. Somewhere around your age, Wyatt, I had a paper route, and hell, those papers were heavy, buddy. But I earned my own keep, and I got my mom a small Carnival glass little container. That was over 40 plus years ago. And you know what? And every time I go home, it's still there. 40 something years. That little Carnival glass container, she still appreciates so much. And you know, I love my mom, and I'm so grateful for her. So, Mom, if you're listening, thank you. I got to get that out of the way. But anyway, well, I'm so glad you're here. Last Sunday, we studied a little bit of verse 15 of 1 John 2, where he said, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. Instead, as written in Matthew 22:36, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your what? Mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. That is what's called the great commandment, or the greatest commandment, and it should be what fuels us, drives us to come to church, to be with each other, to learn God's word, and motivates us as Christians to carry out the Great Commission. Well, today we're going to continue now. We're going to talk a little about, though, the end of times. We're going through Scripture, and this is the next subject that comes up. We're going to see what it means to be a believer, knowing that Jesus is coming back for us soon. So please turn in your Bibles to 1 John 2:12, starting 2:18, page 1082 in your pew Bibles, 1082, which is the inspired, the infallible, and the living Word of God. But let's start with prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your unparalleled, inspired, infallible Word. Lord, I ask that you be with us here today. And give us your heart on this Mother's Day. Give us your wisdom as we just go through your word here today. Because we're going to talk about some difficult subjects. Father God, but you are the author and creator. And Lord, you've given us this mind so that we can use it. Open our minds and our eyes today, Lord, so we'll do just that. Lord, it's in your precious name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Amen, amen, amen. So this book or letter from the Apostle John was written between the years of AD 90 and 95. It's one of the last books that were written in the New Testament. Some 60 years after Jesus had ascended into heaven, John was known to be one of Jesus' beloved or most loved disciples. He wrote the Gospel of John, which we enjoyed, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the last one. And he wrote these letters, the epistles of 1 and 2 John. And then also he wrote Revelation. Today, in verse 18 of chapter 2, it says, read with me if you will, "Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. By this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not belong to us, for if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. However, they went out so that it might be made clear that none of them belongs to us." Okay, let's stop there. A lot to unpack there. I love how this section though starts, though. It says, "Children, it is the last hour." And how appropriate for that being Mother's Day. How many times have I heard my mother, for instance, or all the mothers of the world saying something of this nature? "Get up! It's time to get ready! It's time to go to bed! It's time to get ready!" You know, it's just part of their job of trying to keep us on track. Because I tell you what, I don't know where I'd be without my mom keeping me going in that respect. Where would we be without our mothers? Of course, the Apostle John is not talking about his specific children. Instead, he's talking about us. He's talking about you and me. He says effectively, wake up! Wake up! It's getting late! The time is near! Or how I sometimes, though, as I run into different people in my life and I see the path that they're on, they're not going down a path of righteousness. They're going down a path of sin. Their lives are crumbling all around them. And I wish I could just grab them by the collar and tell them that same thing. Wake up! Don't you see what you're doing? Especially when we're talking about Mother's Day, the broken families of the world. And I see these people that are so hard-headed in the things that they're promoting and they're giving up. And I just want to just slap them up sometimes. Wake up! Don't you see what you're doing? Well, here, the Apostle John is telling us to wake up. He says, it's the last hour. He is suggesting that it is the last hour before, as we talked about in Sunday school today, the coming rapture and the tribulation. The time period between the first and the second coming of Christ. The tribulation, if you haven't heard that term before, it's one that we use in Christendom. It's not mentioned in the Bible, but it's referred to in the Bible in many different places. It's the beginning of the end, effectively, of this world as we know it. It's the rapture happens before the tribulation, where the Christians are taken out of this world. We look forward to the day that Jesus takes us out of this world. And I tell you what, when I watch the news, I hope it's tomorrow. Maybe today, even. But mind you, this book that we're reading here is somewhat 2,000 years ago, but it still rings true ever more today as it was back then. These are the last days, the last hours that we have for the rapture. As we talked about in Sunday school, John didn't know when the rapture was going to occur. Jesus said nobody knows that day, but we're to act as if it is the last hour. After these letters of John were written, John then pens the book of Revelation while he was held prisoner on the island of Patmos. God allowed John to, in that book he reveals, to see the future. Although it never is there an exact date speculated, John saw, though, the destruction of the earth in a vision. I can't imagine what that might look like. But when you read his words, he's trying to describe something that he can't even fathom. And I'm not suggesting it's through nuclear explosions or anything of that nature, but God can just, he can just click his fingers and the world will be gone tomorrow. And John got to see this in a vision, tried to pin it so that we can have a concept of what he was talking about. I have studied and I taught through the book of Revelation in the past, and it's an amazing story, an amazing piece of work. Countless doctorates have been given for the study of Revelation because it talks about the things that are going to happen effectively. I want to read, though, just the very first paragraph of the book of Revelation this morning, because by doing so, it says, this verse says that by you listening to it, you will be blessed. So I want to give you a blessing this morning. I'm going to read the very first and then the very last section of Revelation. So you can turn to it if you will, or just listen to me either way. In chapter 1 of Revelation reads, and again, this is the last hour, right? Chapter 1 reads, the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, whatever he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. Thank you, Lord. And blessed are those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep what is written in it, because the time is near. That is what this same author, John, is talking about now in 1 John 2. The time is near. That is the first paragraph here says that now you all have been blessed. I would love to read the whole book of Revelation here today, but I'm not going to do that. But I will encourage you, though, to consider reading it on your own. And there's some fantastic studies, and I have some, too, on CD if you're interested. But notice here, though, this same sentiment that he's writing this book of Revelation is the same author, Apostle John, uses in our 1 John study today. Then at the very end of Revelation, you can turn there if you will, John leaves us with another blessing and a clear warning. Revelation 22:6 says, now this one's a little bit longer, I'll warn you in advance. It says, "Then he said to me," this is 22:6, "these words are faithful and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits and of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place." Same sentiment he said at the beginning. "Look, I am coming soon," explanation point. "Blessed is the one who keeps the words of this prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. When I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of an angel who had shown them to me. But he said to me, 'Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you, your brothers and your prophets, and those who keep the words of this book worship God.' Then he said to me, 'Don't seal up the words of this of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let the unrighteous go on in unrighteousness. Let the filthy still be filthy. Let the righteous go on to righteousness, and let the holy still be holy. Look," this is verse 12, "I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to repay each person according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they might have the right to be the tree of life and may enter the city of gates. Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves to practice falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to attest these things to you for the churches. I am the root of the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. Both the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' Let anyone here say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water and of life freely." Verse 18 says, "I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God will take away his share of the tree of life and the holy city, which are written about in this book." Finally, "He who testifies about these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon. Amen.' Come, Lord Jesus." Explanation point. "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with everyone." And it finishes with the word, "Amen." Now you've heard it. You've heard it all. You've heard everything you need to know. We are blessed today by the words of Jesus as captured by the Apostle John here in Revelation. So when John says in our text today, "Children, it is the last hour." Everybody say "the last hour." Just make sure you got it. It is the last hour. Now you have the context that John is telling us we need to be paying attention. We need to be paying attention. Then in our text today, John also uses this word called the Antichrist. And we talked about that in Sunday school today too. And by the way, again, I did not orchestrate that Sunday school to exactly mirror what I'm going through today. But when it does, I think it's cool. We talked about that Antichrist fella. This is though the first mention of that pronoun title in Scripture. Here it refers to the coming final world ruler who is energized by Satan, who will seek to unseat Christ from his throne. Seek to unseat him, but he'll never succeed. The Antichrist is part of Satan's what's referred to as the unholy Trinity. I know a lot of you have heard of the Trinity, I would hope. But the Antichrist is the false Messiah or Savior, false Savior, who seeks the world domination so that he can then destroy Israel and all the followers of Jesus Christ. As we in this church, we worship the Holy Trinity, being the God the Father, God the Son, and what? God the Holy Spirit. The Bible also reflects upon what this unholy Trinity, where Satan is the anti-God, the beast is the anti-Christ, and the false prophet is the anti-spirit. This unholy Trinity will, in the end times, persecute believers and deceive many. resulting in, unfortunately, their eternal deaths. But fear not, because we know according to God's word that God's kingdom will ultimately prevail. We have it written down. I wonder sometimes how come Satan ain't reading the Bible. He knows God. He knows Jesus. He knows the angels. He knows the saints. But for some reason, God ain't given them the vision to read, be able to read. You know, it's unfortunate because it tells you what's going to happen. God is going to prevail. And all as Christ followers, we then have nothing to fear. Revelation 12 and 13 and Daniel 7 in particular contain prophetic passages that describe some of the main events during the second half of what's called the seven-year tribulation period. You'll notice that our first set of verses here that John refers to the fact that even now many antichrists, plural, have come. A lot of times people think that there's only one antichrist. No, this is an exact pulling from God's word here, talking about many antichrists. In this context, John is referring to false teachers, though. Anybody ever hear of a false teacher before? Turn on your TV. They're all over the place. We got false teachers. Anybody who opposes God is a false teacher. As the apostles were spreading the good news, there were also many, though, who were trying to distort God's word and what the apostles were trying to build up a church. They were distorting it, trying to lead many people astray. John was running into those churches, those people, and he was trying to keep them straight. And he gives us this word today so that we will not be turned around. Jesus warned them and us back in Matthew 24, though, that this is going to happen. Matthew 24, Jesus said, "Many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Messiah,' and they will deceive many." And then he also said in that same chapter, "False and messiahs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders to lead people astray." Jesus warned the apostles of that, and Jesus is now warning us here too today as well. We should all know today that false teachers are today still spewing their deceptions all around the world, especially in the advent now of mass media and Facebook and internet and everything that comes with it, and TV. You know, these false prophets now have a bigger platform, but so do we. And so that's the dichotomy. That's the wrestle. That's the war that we have going on. Our Bible tells us, though, to expect that more, even more, as Christ's return is coming near. I'm seeing more and more of it just in my life, let alone over the last bunch of years. That's why it's so important, though, for us to know God. Know God. Then verse 20 of 1 John 2 reads like this. It says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I have not written you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar, if not the one who denies that Christ is the Christ? And the one is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. But he who confesses the Son has the Father as well." Do you profess the Son of God? Do you profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Say amen. Amen. Now, the word anoint that's used here, or anointing, comes from the Greek word what's called charisma. Some people think they got a lot of charisma. Then that means they're anointed of sorts. But and charisma actually literally means anoint with oil, or in this context, anointing with the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, guiding the receptive believer into the fullness of God's will. You are anointed if you receive the Holy Spirit and you receive His holy word. If you are a Christian, then you too, as it says here, have an anointing from the Holy One. God has given us His holy word, His truth, so that we will not be deceived. And He has opened our minds then to receive it, to love it, to understand it, to apply it. Amen? Amen. All right. As written in John 4:23, "But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. And that would be me and you, I hope, brothers and sisters. Satan is prowling around this world. Do you feel him? He's all around us. He's prowling, seeking to find anyone who he can devour. The Antichrist is effectively Satan's minion, doing anything that he can do to keep people from reading God's word, doing anything he can do to keep people from praying, doing anything he can do to keep people from repenting or turning around away from their sins and trusting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's the Antichrist's job description. Don't fall for it. He will entertain. He will confuse. He will tempt people to keep them from serving Jesus and loving Father God. Don't fall victim to Satan's and the Antichrist's schemes. Keep your children and your family close. Keep them in church. That's why Jesus gave us this church, which he calls his bride, so that we can keep going in this and keep strong in our faith. It isn't just to hear a great sermon, although, no. It's so much more than that. The sermon is just a small piece of what a church family has to offer. Please remember that. We need each other, the church, my beloved brothers and sisters, my church family, to stay in God's will. I need you. And hopefully you feel the need for me. And when you need me, call me. Get in touch with me. That's what we're supposed to be all about. So now, taking a look at these first sentences of both these two paragraphs, because that's all we're going to cover is these two paragraphs, really. This should give us much comfort, though. Although it is the last hour, and we know the Antichrist is coming, we as Christians have nothing to fear. We have the anointing from the Holy One, and we know the truth. In John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, stay in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Say it again.
Free.
That's a great word. I love that word. Jesus also said in John 10, 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one snatches them out of my hand." Based on these verses, we believe that what is referred to as what's called eternal security. Those who truly have God's anointing, Holy Spirit in them, and the Bible refers to it as being sealed in our hearts, they can never be taken by Satan. Now, don't get me wrong, that doesn't mean that we won't be influenced by sin. We all are sinners, and we all are in need of much grace. But we have the promise of heaven because of what Jesus did for us on the cross at Calvary. He is our Abba, Father. And for that reason, we come to church now and we praise his holy name. Just like you have a child, that child will always be your child. Maybe not in word and deed, but you can never deny that child is yours. Once you have been adopted into the son as a sonship into God's family, he will never let you go. I don't know about you guys, but I take a lot of comfort in that. I surely don't deserve it. But he allows me to stay in his graces anyway. God loves you so much. And like a parent, he is watching over you all the time. I remember clearly many years ago at school, I was doing a performance in the school, one of the very few I've ever done. Yes, Jamie, I can do performances too. My instrument of, not choice, assigned to me was the baritone. Now, mind you, I probably weighed 60 pounds wet, and I'm carrying this baritone with the case a mile and a half home, lugging it over the bridge or in the middle of Detroit. Bad situation. So I didn't really practice as much as I ought to. But one day I had a performance there at school, and all the moms and dads were in the audience there that day. And I could just tell my mom and dad were proud of me back that day, even though I'm sure it sounded horrible. But I was in a choir of performers. And guess what? You guys are now the choir of your performance. And together, we sound a whole lot better. But just like my mom and dad were just happy to be there that day, your Father in heaven is happy to be watching you and your performance here today as well. He is rejoicing, it says. Jesus said they're rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. Rejoicing. So if you haven't taken yet that step of faith, maybe today is that day. Maybe today you will acknowledge your part in the family of God. So as we're getting ready to close here today, dear church, on this Mother's Day, I ask you to consider not who you are, but whose you are. Yes, you are born to your mortal parents, and that is a blessed thing indeed. But your Father in heaven, He loves you so, more than even your mortal parents could ever fathom. His word, if they're hidden in our hearts, then we belong to Him. Nothing pleases Him more than when a person accepts His calling on their lives. So that's what we want to consider here today. Would you please rise? This is it's great to go through the scripture verses. I have a group I maintain on Facebook, and it's called SBC Pastors. And only pastors can go. They have to be qualified SBC pastors. And in that, we said, what are we going to cover for Mother's Day? Are you going to do a special sermon? And you know, I was pleased to see 90% of the pastors that responded. I got almost 400 pastors on there. About 90% of them responded and said, nope, I'm going through God's Word. We went through God's Word here today. But you can see the relationship, how we can still bring in, though, and rejoice and have fellowship with the saints here and celebrate Mother's Day as well. God is our parent. Just like our mothers loved us, God loves us too. So as we close now with Amazing Grace, if you would like to join the church, this is the time to consider that. If you would like to be baptized, this is the time to do that. And if you would just like prayer, please come forward and let me do that for you now. Please. Sing with me. This is the first verse of Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Father God, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. I think I even see sunshine coming in outside. Thank you, Lord. But as the sun is in the sky, it's also in my heart, your Son, Jesus. And we thank you for that Lord, that calling upon our lives that caused us to make that choice. Lord, I ask you to be with the families here today. Bless them. And for anybody that might be mournfully remembering their lost one, Lord, I ask you to comfort them. Father God, we thank you and we praise your holy name on this Mother's Day. It's in your precious name we pray. And everybody says,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, I do got the thing to sign there if you want to get more from the Baptist Children's Home. And we're going to have some popcorn and refreshments. Please join us. God bless you all.